some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Hey everybody, welcome back to a great week of Rated G Radio. We've got tons of cool stuff that is going to be happening later in the week, but I'm going to get to that at the halfway point when we take our first commercial break, and instead I'm going to just jump right into our celebrity guest of the night, Mr. John Paul, calling from Portland, Oregon. John, how are you, and welcome back.
Hey, Blonde Jesus, how you doing?
I'm so great. I am so excited that you're here. You know, you were a guest on the show, I don't know when, but it was a hot minute ago. And I think that's really when, you know, we started to become, you know, really good Facebook friends and, you know, give each other hard times about, you know, different posts and things that we have, but also, you know, support one another, especially for some of the great successes you've had, you know, this year. And you've been really kind to me as well. And I'm just thrilled to have you back just to kind of like chat with you live, but also to talk about your cool transformation that you've been undergoing this year. So, you know, since we've last talked, John, tell the listeners what's been going on in your world.
Well, hey, thanks for having me back. I love following you on Facebook. You have a fun life in so many ways. And you're crazy, and I love that. You get to do all kinds of fun stuff and fun things with your hair. And I really like the fact that you're just not a pretentious kind of guy. So
thanks
for having me back.
Thank you.
So as we've talked about before, I'm a chef up here in Portland, Oregon. Great place to be a chef. It's a real foodie destination, the Pacific Northwest is. And so I've had a catering company up here for about a dozen years now. And we do all sorts of fun, different kinds of events. As a matter of fact, just last night, you know, generally we handle large events, 200, 300 people, corporate events. But in our downtime, we'll even do small things. So last night, we went over to a client's house. There was 9 people, and we taught them how to make ravioli. And
no!
We just did a small, yeah. So we did a small, I call them interactive dinners. So we get hired by a client. It was first one of the guys' 50th birthday party. They gathered their friends. My assistant and I went over. And I taught them how I make Caesar salad and what goes into a Caesar salad dressing. I kind of demonstrate it right there in the kitchen. They're having cocktails and they're watching and we're laughing. And then as we go through each course, then we serve them and they eat it. And then we made this wonderful butternut squash, ricotta, cinnamon, nutmeg, garlic, ravioli.
Oh.
With this incredible cream sauce with caramelized onions and maple syrup and nutmeg and cinnamon and heavy cream and perfect, you know, not down there in Southern California where you are, but up here where it's dark and it was raining last night and all the leaves are turning. It was kind of a perfect autumn meal, and everybody got to make their own ravioli. It was fun.
I love stories like that. Now, okay, so I'm, you know, since we're friends on Facebook, I'm now going onto your Facebook page and looking excuse me, I'm getting just a little bit clumsy.
I did post about it already. I did post pictures. I'm surprised you haven't clicked on them yet today.
Well, I'm clicking on them now, and I'm like, I'm really glad I didn't click on them earlier because I'd have been crying on the phone more than I am right now going, John, how come I can't eat your food? So, okay.
Well, because you and I eat well, that's why. We don't eat that kind of stuff. We just make it.
Well, that's okay. I'll give you that. So can I ask you a question here? Has when you do things like this, do your clients come to you with like a specific menu in mind, or do you say, you know, here's some choices, or what is it like when you're doing a private party like
well,
that?
Well, generally when you're a chef, people want to know, they may have some ideas, but in my experience, generally they let me plan the menu. Planning a menu has a lot to do with, for example, there was a gluten-free person we had to cook around. There were several Asian gentlemen in the audience last night. So I figure out what it is. I do a little investigating what the food preferences are. There was one guy who couldn't eat shellfish. So based on what the food restrictions are, then I craft a menu geared toward food, number one, that you can demonstrate in front of people, to food that's interactive and fun, And then I try to throw in common things like last night's Caesar salad. Almost virtually everybody likes Caesar salad. I've yet to meet someone who doesn't. It's kind of a universally loved item. And so it's always fun to teach someone how to make a good Caesar salad. So that's a fun thing I like to demonstrate.
So for a party like what you were doing last night, it looks like by the pictures it was, you know, very interactive. Would you call it kind of like a cooking course or something like that? Or
we call it an interactive dinner.
It's an interactive dinner.
So we teach, they watch us, and then they get to interact. You know, they ask questions, and they get to put their hands on and help us. So it's one of the things that we offer besides just catering for large events and dinner parties. We do something interactive. And really, it is it's really a unique way to throw a birthday party. It's really different. It's different than going out to dinner or, you know, it's something fun to have a professional chef right in your house that's teaching you and explaining what you're eating and cooking it right in front of you. It's really a fun, memorable experience. And I've probably been doing it for 10 years at least.
I think that sounds just absolutely cool. I will tell you, you know one reason why I'm grateful that you live in Portland and I live down here in Southern California? I would weigh 7,000 pounds because all I would do is stalk you at every single event that you ever went to and go eat all the food. Because one of my burning questions since you were on the show last is, did you also go to, you know, because you went to culinary school and we talked about that before, but did you go to school for photography? Or where did you develop your eye for how to shoot your food to make it look so spectacular? Because I know it tastes great,
so,
but there's a certain panache to doing that.
So actually, I know nothing about photography. I've never taken a class. I've never read anything about it. I've never studied it. I have a point-and-shoot 35-millimeter camera that I bought. It's a Canon Rebel that I bought at Costco. But the tagline to my company is artists who just happen to cook. So at the heart of it, I'm about artistry. And there's a lot of artistry in my food, in the plating designs, in the buffet designs. And really, if I had my choice to be a hands-on chef or a food stylist, I would be a food stylist. Because to me, I'm so about the visual component of food. And to me, when I first started my catering company in 2004, I can tell you what my food is about, but if I can show you initially what it looks like and what to expect before you taste it, so I started taking photographs. Even when I was in culinary school, Garrett, I started photographing my food, and I remember students in the class would laugh at me and make fun of me because I'd be sitting there. This was before there really was sophisticated cameras on phones. I'd be taking pictures of my food, and people would laugh and make fun of me, and I would say, go ahead and laugh. But by the time I graduate, go ahead. You'll be working for me someday.
Uh-huh.
And I had a portfolio before I even graduated from culinary school. And I've learned how to shoot food, the angles. The food looks best. I always do it in natural light. I rarely use a flash. You know, just I love it. And people love looking at the pictures of not just the food, but the people eating it and the settings that it's in and the room and the decor. It's kind of so what I do with my company is we tell our guests that you create the memory, we'll put the cherry on top. So I'm treating my clients to an experience, a memory, and I just use food.
Do you find, you know, because now I'm looking, and I'm going to call you on the carpet here in just a second, John, because I am now looking at your autumn Caesar salad, and you say, in case you're wondering, this bowl holds around 100 portions, and you say it's a big-ass bowl. I look at that bowl and go, I think that's about enough for me. So that salad looks off the chain spectacular. What goes into your autumn Caesar salad that makes it so different?
Well, what's different about it is we add radicchio to it. Radicchio is this beautiful, it's almost a burgundy shade of bitter lettuce. You wouldn't often eat it by itself. It tends to go in things. You can braise it. You can grill it. But But I add radicchio to Caesars in the autumn because it just it bumps the color up. It adds a slight bitterness to it. And I love the way it looks. And there you go. It's autumn Caesar.
I'll tell you, boy, yeah, that bowl is deceiving because, you know, I know when I make salads here at the house and I post the pictures on Facebook, people go, oh, okay, you know, I always try to give it some type of scale so people can get an idea of really truly how big of a bowl of salad that I make for myself when it really should feed 6 or 8. That's my serving. And that bowl looks spectacular. I would eat the whole thing. I would push people out of the way to get out of my way for your Caesar salad.
Yeah,
a given.
Because I only photographed that particular bowl and I didn't give it any scale or anything next to it, it doesn't look nearly as huge as it really is. Yeah, it probably weighs 25 pounds.
Holy cow. Okay, well, maybe I wouldn't eat the whole thing.
We served that. We did an event for 250 people last Thursday for Toyota. There's a local Toyota dealership that won a national award out of 1,300 stores nationwide, so we did a huge, elegant, fun luncheon for them just last week.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. It's Beaverton Toyota, and, you know, when growing up in the Northwest, I know that was always a major name dealership when I still lived there, and that's been a million years ago. So congratulations to Beaverton Toyota. But how did you get the call to come in and what goes into doing something like that? Do you have to, like, pitch it, or, you know, do they just call you and say, come and show up on this date and feed 250 people?
Well, at this point, I've been doing this for 12 years now, I would say the majority of new clients come by word of mouth. And
wow.
Really, that's what you want. You know your business has really arrived when the bulk of it comes from recommendations through clients who have been to your event. So the owner contacted us and said, a friend of mine recommended, I wanted the highest-end caterer in town and recommended you. So, you know, it's kind of a complex process when you go in and you start the bidding process and you figure out what it is, what the event is for, what the style is that they're looking for, what their budget and their price point is per person. Of course, for something of that magnitude, I needed to have 10 servers and 4 chefs and 2 bartenders and, you know, we bring in $4,000 worth of rentals, and there was baked goods. And so there's a whole linens and china. There's a whole lot that goes into throwing an event. And we did that entire thing with less than a week's notice.
Holy cow.
So by the time they contacted us until the time we executed it, it was 1 week.
Goodness gracious. So, okay, and I'm not asking you to, you know, tell me any of your trade secrets, but, you know, just kind of going through my head about how in the world logistically would you plan this? When, you know, somebody, let's say I'm calling and say, I've got an event next week for 250 people, John, and I want to, you know, do it. Do you then have like an Excel spreadsheet and just kind of start checking things off, and then by the end of it, it just says, okay, with all of these things, it's now going to populate and go, poof, there's your answer. Do you do something like that, or what's the science behind, you know, calculating how you're going to do an event like that and then have it end up being something that, you know, is a win for everybody and everybody makes a dollar?
You know, a lot of it, Garrett, has to do with just years of experience. And I have a terrific staff of people in my kitchen. I have an executive sous chef, an assistant sous chef. And so we know if I want to serve mac and cheese to 100 people, just from doing it over and over and over again, we know how many hotel pans we need of it. We know how many pounds of mac and cheese to buy, how many gallons of milk, how much cheese, how much spices. You just learn proportions and ratios by experience. But sometimes as you're learning, we just guess. So, I mean, the simplest way is you take a basic recipe that serves 8 to 10 people, and if you have to serve 80, you multiply it times 10. You multiply the recipe times 10, you make it, you're going to get 80 servings out of it. So it's not rocket science, but probably the average person would have no idea to where to even begin to do large volumes of food, how to keep them warm, what to serve them in, et cetera, et cetera. But again, everybody that's worked for me is a culinary school graduate. We know a lot about food. We know how it works. And so much of it is experience doing it time and time and time and time again.
So, has anything really changed for you in the food industry in the last few years that you've really found surprising?
The thing that is not, well, nothing is really surprising. I could tell you something, the most predominant change, and that is the advent of the picky diet. And you've
Okay.
never seen it anywhere like the Pacific Northwest. And I'm talking the vegan diet, the gluten-free diet, the no seafood diet, the no dairy diet. I mean, just in that party for nine people last night, we had four food type restrictions. And so it can get very difficult sometimes trying to plan a menu to please everyone. And, you know, oftentimes people feel that you need to cater just to them. And so we do a lot of wedding catering too. And I often tell the bride and groom when we're planning a menu, you plan a menu for a large group to appeal to the widest swath of people. So if there's two vegans, we can't prepare an entire menu for 100 people to please two vegans. Or we cannot have an entire menu that's gluten-free if there's two people out of 100 that are gluten-free. So what we've learned to do and what the trend is, create a menu that there's something for everyone. So if I'm a vegan and I'm going through a wedding buffet, I may not be able to eat everything on there, but there may be a couple things that I could eat. Or maybe there's two items that are gluten-free, or there's something that doesn't have dairy in it. So that's our big challenge today as chefs, especially those of us that do catering. This is not a restaurant. We're not short order cooks. We're cooking large amounts of food for a large quantity of people at one time. So you really have to try to prepare things that are going to please the largest number of people.
So okay, and I'm asking you this, and I'm a little smarmy when I'm asking the question, John, and I apologize in advance, but how many of these food allergies or food restrictions, and I'm not asking you from a doctor standpoint, so
Are
I'm not asking,
legitimate?
are legitimate? Because, you know, some of these, you know, it's like, because what's changed? Because when you and I were growing up, I mean, it's like, you know, eat it, it's good for you. I don't want to eat peanuts, or I don't want to eat whatever. Or I don't, but you ate it anyway, and you lived and you grew up. What's happened in the last 10 or 20
Well,
years that now we're all like, well, I can't eat, you know, whatever.
you know, that's really interesting observation on your part. The vast majority of this is just preference. I
Okay.
mean, the only true gluten-free diet is one for a celiac patient.
Right.
A celiac patient truly cannot have gluten in their diet. But I can't tell you the number of times we'll prepare an entire dairy-free menu and then we'll make a dessert that's got whipped cream on it. And the dairy-free person will say, "Oh, you know what, it won't hurt me. I'll have it this time. It looks so good," or, "It's a special occasion." And so a lot of it is, I have to say, it's elitism. It's
Okay.
people that in their normal life they prefer eating a certain way, but we often, you know, when we plan, for example, when we did the one for Beaverton Toyota, we made marinated grilled tri-tip steak sandwiches. And I said, "Would you like a vegetarian option?" They said, "No, everyone can
Wow.
eat steak." Because it's primarily men they were catering to. And I thought, "Oh, that's kind of refreshing, to
I
be
love
honest
that.
with you." Well,
Yeah.
I did too, because they were appealing. And if someone doesn't like steak, they can have something else.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of it is just preference. It's not necessarily something that's going to harm them. But we're in an era in our country with food, particularly, that people are very, very picky and they want to be catered to. So when you're in this industry, you kind of just have to smile and do it.
Yeah, the smile and do it because the customer's always right, isn't that? Oh, yeah. And, you know,
No, actually, I don't subscribe to that. To
okay.
me, the customer is not always right. They are your customer.
Okay.
And it doesn't make them right, but so very often they're not right. but because they're my customer, it doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. They
Correct.
Are my customer. So I'm
okay.
in business to please them. It's just a different way of looking at it, but I don't always feel they are right. But they are the customer, and they're paying for a service, and so I want to please them. It's not about me. It's about pleasing them.
Right. You know what? I need to go re-listen to this broadcast and have that just ingrained in my brain because
yeah,
that is the
customer's
one of the smartest.
Yeah, the customer's not always right.
Well, no, but it's your approach to how, you know, you're dealing with that. It's like, yeah, I'm in business, and they may not be right, but I'm here to do what they want. So then let's just
That's
do
right.
it. I love that.
Within
so,
reason.
Okay. Well, within reason, you know. So
within reason.
The real reason we have you here tonight, well, we have many real reasons why you're here tonight, but the reason that we're telling everybody you're here tonight is because you've gone through this incredible journey in this last year, and you've lost like 50 pounds.
50
and
pounds.
You're doing it in a very smart, strategic way. I love your post that you keep motivating the world with, but tell us about what happened the day that you said, I'm going to make a change.
I started October 1st of 2014. I weighed 230. I'm 5'8", so not real tall. I weighed 234 pounds. Not my heaviest, but my entire adult life, my weight, I have yo-yoed up and down, up and down, up and down. And, of course, in my profession, for many of us, we use being a chef as an excuse to overeat and be heavy. I mean, let's face it. The hours are mostly at night. You work many, many hours on your feet. You don't have time to eat. You forget to eat. And so you tend to eat late at night. You tend to overindulge. Wouldn't eat till I would get home at 10 o'clock at night, and then I feel like I deserve to treat myself, et cetera, et cetera. But a year ago, I decided I finally was going to stop dieting. Because a diet to me is a temporary situation. You go on a diet for a period of time, you lose weight, and then you go off your diet. So I decided this time I didn't care how long it took me to lose weight, pressure on myself, and I absolutely did not go on a diet. What I did was I started to make very small changes in how I ate. So here's one small, and I help people all over the place. They will message me and struggle, and I say, what is one thing you could do for a month, one change? For example, if you have 3 big gulps every day, just have 2. So I'm not saying don't have any big gulps. Stop drinking pop altogether. Because when you're very first beginning this, if you want this to be a lifetime lifestyle change, you need to do it very, very gently. So I'm going to have 2 big gulps instead of 3. You can do that for a month. Make no other changes. At the end of that month, make another change. Okay, I am only going to have 1 helping of dinner instead of 2. Or I promise myself I'm going to have some kind of nourishment when I wake up. And for me, all I could drink was a protein shake. I hate to eat breakfast. I'm not hungry in the morning. The thought of eating makes me want to throw up. I just cannot eat in the morning. But probably 4 months into this, I thought I can drink a protein shake on my way to work. I'll drink it. So little small changes. Another thing I did is I started slowly cutting refined carbohydrates out and adding sources of protein to my diet. So, again, this is over the course of a year. Another thing I did is I very slowly and gradually stopped running to food to comfort myself. And this is the big one, because it's not enough to just change what you eat and how much you eat. You have to come to grips with why it is you're using food, really why you are abusing food. And I abused food to fill loneliness. But it's a double-edged sword, because while food is comforting and it tastes good and it's immediately gratifying, the byproduct is I would get heavy. So it increased my sense of alienation and loneliness. And so over time, I began replacing the food and allowing myself to feel satisfied over indulging. And so it was just these very small changes.
So, because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm an emotional eater, and I'm somebody who, when I even recognize that I'm full, I'll go like, okay, well, I'm still going to keep shoveling it in because, you know, the gravy train's here. Let's, you know, keep on chugging. And I will do it knowing full well that I'm not hungry. I do not need the food. This is silly. I should just drink another glass of water or, you know, walk around the block or do something. But how, you know, as somebody who cooks with food all day long, how do you do that successfully? I know that you've done it, but it's like,
well,
did you come
I
up with like a list
my
at the relation beginning?
You change your relationship with food. So when I'm at work, this is not my meal I'm cooking. This is work. This is food for someone else. Now I do have to taste it. You know, we have to taste food all day long as chefs. Everything that's produced, you have to taste it sometimes 5-6 times. Someone's cooking it, they come up, chef, taste this. How does it taste? Is it seasoned enough? Is there enough salt in it? What does it need? You know, does it need vinegar? What does it need? So we taste all day long, but there's a difference between tasting something and eating a bowl of it.
Oh,
and so again, it was
good.
It's been hard for me to pinpoint exactly, but really, Garrett, I only lost about 3.75 pounds a month. Now, if you think about that, you get on the scale on January 1st and you weigh 150 pounds, and on February 1st you weigh 146. You would be very discouraged. You think that's all I lost in an entire month was less than 1 pound a week. But when a year passes by, that became 50 pounds. And so I'm helping a friend of mine right now who weighs more than he's ever weighed in his life. I said, think of this over the long haul. Be very patient with yourself. Because really a year goes by a lot faster than you think. And I look completely and utterly different than I did a year ago. And I am 9 pounds from my goal weight of 175.
Congratulations.
And so it feels good. I look better. People respond to me differently. My self-esteem goes up. People are more attracted to me as a potential person to date. You feel more self-confident. But I would say the most important thing about it is I feel in control. I control the food. It doesn't control me. And that doesn't mean I don't overindulge. I still do. But, you know, I think it's always a struggle to pull it back into balance.
How long does it take for you to really kind of get on board with, you know, taking that control away from the food? I think for a lot of folks, that's the biggest struggle is like, oh, I just can't, you know, fine, I'm just going to go eat that dozen donuts. And even though, you know, you have willpower and things like that, it just doesn't work. How long did it take for you to be successful?
I'd say the first 6 months, things changed very slowly. The first 20 pounds, I lost 20 pounds fairly quickly, and then I stayed at 20 pounds for about 6 months and did not lose another pound. And so then I had to start deciding what was I going to do and what was it that I really want. And actually, as time has gone by, my weight began dropping faster and faster. Now, in the past 6 weeks, I've lost 15 pounds.
Wow.
So instead of it slowing down, it's become a self-perpetuating thing. The more I dial it in, the more excited about it I get, and the weight is just falling off.
Now, you're also, and I know our time is running short, so I don't want to, you know, disrespect you and just keep you on here for 17 hours, because I would do that, John, but I know you've got other things to do. You've also started getting some exercise in. How has that changed your results, do you think?
Yeah, so after I'd lost about, when I had 20 pounds to lose for my goal, I started working with a trainer. And not just like a 24-hour gym, at a real training gym where all they do is training. So these are professional trainers. And I started at 3 days a week, then I moved up to 4 days a week. and now I'm at 5 days a week. My workout only lasts 25 minutes long. I go in, we do weights for 25 minutes and some cardio. That's it, 5 days a week. And so it's helping tone everything up. It's my body's changing really quickly. I've toyed around a little bit with starting to run. So, you know, the better you look, the better you feel, you want to do more. It just gets better and better.
Have you gone out and bought new clothes yet?
Yeah, of course. I have bought some clothes, and then I've had clothes that have been in my closet for years and years that I can actually fit into again. So, yeah, it's
good
been great, but I think I'm going to wait until I'm completely done before I start buying a lot of clothes.
Right on. Well, okay, so last, any closing words, words of wisdom, things you'd like, or shout-outs or anything like that that you want to do, and then I'm going to let you go.
No, I just really appreciate what you do and your positive attitude every single day. You never seem to have a down day. I'm sure that you do because you're just a human being, but, you know, you're like my brother from another mother down there in Southern California, and I really appreciate you a lot, Garrett.
Well, John, I love you. I think that you're a great guy. I wish you continued success. We want to see those Speedo pictures this next summer when you get down to your goal weight. And, well, you know, we got
to That's never going to happen.
Okay.
In Portland, no one wears a Speedo.
Well, you know, we might take you out, you know, to Detroit Lake or something like that.
I think you just want to see me in a Speedo. Let's be honest.
Well, there's that, too. That's too. Okay, everybody, we're going to be right back after this important message from It Matters Radio, and we'll have more news of the day. Stay tuned.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a deaf man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, Letty, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
Oh, that's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Again, a big thanks to John Polk for being our VIP special guest star today. His catering company is called Mezzaluna Fine Catering. On the show page today, I've listed all kinds of easy ways to get connected. So if you want to book a catering event with Mezzaluna Fine Catering, there's a link that you just click here. If you want to go to their Facebook page and like it and see some of those pictures that John keeps posting, you can do that. And I'm going to be full of shameless plugs all of this week because we've got Witch Sisters Halloween, and I'm really making the push for everybody to go check that out on YouTube. But this next part's not about me, but it's about our other guests that we have on the show, including tomorrow night's guest, Miss Sherry Fink, who is the author of a new book called cake in bed. I have this new thing that I've done with Amazon. I've partnered with Amazon to create what we call the Rated G Radio Superstar Swag page. And it includes books, CDs, music, movies. Anytime a guest is on the show and they've got swag, you know, because I'm all about moving the merch when we've got the guest on the show. Anytime they're on the show and we have an opportunity to talk about their product, whatever it is, artistically or otherwise, and it's on Amazon, I've now put it all on this great page called the Rated G Superstars Swag page, and it's through Amazon. And all you have to do, if you want to click it and say, I want to take a look at that Sherry Fink. She's going to be on tomorrow night. She sounds kind of interesting, and I want to see what book she's written. Well, she's the number one best-selling children's author in the world. She had a book on Amazon's, you know, kids book list for 60 weeks in a row at number one. You know, that's 52 weeks in a year. She was on for over a year at number one with one of her books. So she's going to be on talking about that tomorrow. But you can go on to the Superstar Swag on Amazon. And what I think is cool about it is oftentimes you may have heard shows in the past and you're like, oh, that's right, we had Jeffrey Michaels or we had Gail Carline or we had whoever. You can say, now would be a great time because I know so-and-so is having a birthday, an anniversary. We've got Christmas. We've got whatever coming up. And you can go ping, 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 buy them all, and they're shipped conveniently and quickly to you. And it's all done through Amazon. So it's not like, you know, it's me. Hey, do you want to buy a book out of the back of my car? It's done through Amazon. It's all very professional. You still get your same, you know, Prime shipping. If you subscribe to that, you can get your free shipping over $35. So any of the people who have appeared on the show and you would like to buy their product, go buy it in bulk. It helps independent artists of all varieties make a living and pay some light bills. But back to John's time with us today, Mezzaluna Fine Catering. I am in love with his pictures that he keeps posting of all of his food. And one of the things that has come up is, as far as food today, I don't know if you saw this, but you know, everybody's talking about the fact that you can't eat bacon. So the World Health Organization released a report today on cancer-causing effects of red meat and processed meat. And the news, as you might expect, is not that good. And there's been a ton of evidence in the last decade suggesting that the overconsumption of processed meat is bad for you. Now it's like really, really, really bad. Now it's interesting because I was watching the news tonight before this, you know, the show with John. I should have asked him, how often do you cook, you know, with 500 tons of bacon in your stuff? Because, you know, who doesn't love bacon? I love bacon. I haven't had bacon in years, but I love bacon. And you had the people, you know, on both sides of the fence saying, you know, red meat's a good part of your diet. It has the amino acids. It has the proteins. It has all the things that your body needs, but it needs to be lean. You know, red meat, don't go eating a bunch of really fatty stuff. You know, who would want to eat a bunch of fatty meat? Isn't prime rib really fatty? I can't imagine eating any of that type of stuff. Ugh. But if you do and you like it, good for you. I'm not here to, you know, cast stones at anybody because, you know, this glass house don't need to be broken. That's all I'm saying. But I thought it was funny that so many people were up in arms about, oh, you know, you can't eat bacon, you can't eat processed meat. Have you ever looked at the ingredient list on processed meat? Unless it says, you know, like turkey, other ingredients, none. It's processed, you know, and you take a look at all the nitrates and the other ates and glutamates and thistamates and thatsamates. All it is going to make you really, really sick. Now, I'm not preaching to you. I'm just telling you, I just have stopped eating all of that. Anytime something like that accidentally ends up ingested, I feel lousy probably within an hour or two of eating it and oftentimes have headaches or am ill, you know, the next day. It reminds me, this is not funny, but, it was a comedian telling the joke. It reminds me of this joke this comedian was telling on Sirius XM one time, and I wish I could remember who the comic was. I just remember the joke. So I'm not making this joke up. I'm not claiming it's mine at all in any way, shape, or form, but it was really kind of funny. So this maybe it was like Ron White or somebody like that. No, it wasn't Ron, but the comedian is telling the story, you know, I'm going out to L.A., I'm going to go have lunch with my friend. My friend, you know, has been in California for whatever, and, you know, he tells me he's a vegetarian. And so we go out to eat, and, you know, he has broth. And, you know, he takes a spoonful of broth and immediately starts to get sick. And, of course, you know, the guy telling the joke tells it in a very, you know, comedic fashion. But the long and short of it was, you know, the guy's kind of eliminated all of the processed chemical yuck out of his diet and his life, and he feels really good. And he accidentally ingests, you know, like this broth. And so the committee was, you know, basically saying, you know, how do you get sick from broth? It's broth. It's water with flavor. Well, you get sick if, you know, you don't have the other, if you don't have that stuff in your body on a regular basis. But apparently, you need to just, you know, be aware that if you eat sausage, salami, bacon, ham, that's really kind of super, super bad. That's a bad thing to do. And there is limited evidence that 100 grams of red meat, which could be pork, beef, lamb, or veal a day, increased your risk of bowel cancer by 17%. But when does, you know, eating pretty much anything not increase your risk of getting cancer? So I guess they were also making comparison to people who smoked, but they were saying, well, you know, smoking, you know, you can have an increase of 17% of, you know, bowel cancer, but when you're smoking, you're increasing your likelihood of getting cancer by like 20 times, not just 17%. So I guess, you know, that is just a little bit different anyway. So I saw that and I thought that was kind of interesting considering we had a professional chef on the show. I really would like to talk to him for like an, I'd love to have him on a regular basis, to be quite honest. I think John's fascinating just to talk about the way he approaches food, you know, how his employees, you know, work, live, breathe. I get, we could probably make this an A&E reality show. I should call you know, Radio Andy and just say, hey, Andy Cohen, let's get a show going about John, because he's got a really interesting past. But what's more interesting right now, of course, is his future. So over the course of the weekend, I've been on everybody's case to vote for me for on Facebook. You can still kind of go do this. Not kind of. You can still go do this, and I would love it if you did. You can go to the Hottest New Artist page on Facebook. They have a, you know, I don't want to say a contest, but they've got this little popularity contest going on for their current top 30 songs. And the most popular ones, you know, it's like a popularity contest of like you're in the, you know, am I going to get asked to the dance? Or you're on American Idol. Please text your vote to me now. But they have this contest going on for the, it's top 30 songs. My song, Witch Sisters Halloween, was number 30 on their playlist. I made it in by the skin of my teeth. And by getting people to vote, whether listening to the broadcast live, so this is the crazy thing. You can listen to the broadcast live and give it a thumbs up, which is really, really cool if you do. And if you happen to catch the replays, because they do them, you know, the replay like 9 times, so you have like 9 opportunities to hear the song. And since they play the songs always in order, you know, you always know if you're listening to song 28, you just got to get through song 28 and 29, and song 30, Witch Sisters Halloween, is going to be coming up. So you know that's cool. So you can vote once there. But they also count votes if you vote for the song on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. And so I've been begging everybody this past weekend to go vote for me for Witch Sisters Halloween on Hottest New Artist. You know, I'm going to be saying this like 7 more times, so you can go ahead and get this ingrained into your head and go do this. There's a reason. There's a method behind my madness here. Number one, do I think that a Halloween song should be number one at Halloween this year? Absolutely. And whose song should it be? It should absolutely be mine. Witch Sisters Halloween is so much fun. If you've seen the music video for it on YouTube, you know what I'm talking about. It's a great lyric video, and it just paints a real fun picture of Halloween this year. So I've got a ton of people voting for it. And then there's this one other person that apparently has some kind of clue about marketing, because she's also got people, you know, chiming in on social media saying, vote for my song, vote for my song. And, you know, you don't want to go like, no, don't vote for her song, vote for mine. So every time I would see somebody that would post for her, I would contact 5 people I knew and said, please go vote for my song, click here, and just type in, I vote for Witch Sisters Halloween, because that's all you got to do. And the person with the most votes wins. So I'm hoping that I'm going to win. I actually think the song has a really excellent chance of breaking their top 10 this next week. It would be really great if it just shot up to number one. I don't know how that's all going to play out, but we're going to see. I will tell you, though, as you're listening to this, one of the cool things is when I was approached by Hottest New Artist to, you know, showcase the music, they also are going to showcase, not this coming week, but in November, and then early November and then end of November, something like that. But you'll see it on social media, and I'll be talking about it here. they're going to do the same type of contest with Gay Wedding, which of course is my single out this summer that did really well everywhere. And then the new single, which I'm technically not releasing until January, called Sweat and Testify. Now, you know that that's the song that I had Deborah Wilson from Mad TV on the album. She sang the chorus, and she was absolutely great, beyond great. And they're going to do that. So I'm going to be telling you here about Witch Sisters Halloween on Hottest New Artist, and please go vote, but also to then be prepared, because I'm going to come back two more times, and then I'll be quiet for the holidays. But I'm going to come back two more times and ask you to vote for me for Gay Wedding, and then after that, I'll be asking you to vote for Sweat and Testify. So when you see that ask, didn't he already ask us to vote for that once? Yes, I did, but now we're on to a new song, so I'm going to ask you to come and help support me there. All of this is in my attempt from a, you know, popularity standpoint to get enough votes and enough momentum to be nominated for the Hottest New Artist of 2015. And I think I've got a shot at it if we can really do some fun, you know, vote casting here in the next few weeks with Witch Sisters, and then, of course, with Gay Wedding and Sweat and Testify. So if you have a chance to do that, I'm going to say please do it, and I'll love you forever. Each time that you go and vote, or not each time, because this will really only help you one time, but I want to help you, and I want to reward you for doing it. So when I make this ask, that's what I should say, is when I make this ask, please go vote for Witch Sisters Halloween, and you send me a note and say, Garrett, I did it. It's easier if you just tag me in it. Please vote for Witch Sisters Halloween by Garrett Miller, you know, because we're friends on Facebook. It'll ping me. I will then go onto Facebook, and I will give you a free download of that song. So as Witch Sisters Halloween is wrapping up votes, if you still want to go to Hottest New Artist on Facebook and vote for Witch Sisters Halloween, you can do that. And just say, I want Witch Sisters Halloween by Garrett Miller. I will send you a free download of that song. Then, when they switch to Gay Wedding, if you haven't already bought the Gay Wedding song, which is, of course, you know, it's Billy Idol's White Wedding redone. The music is spectacular. Brian Pothier did all of the musical arrangement on this. And I rewrote the lyrics for the song for LGBT, for a community, with the thought that by the time the song is ready to be released, the Supreme Court will be ready to vote on marriage equality in the United States, da-da-da-da-da. And that's exactly what happened. The timing could not have been any better. But Hottest New Artist wants to showcase this song, and who am I to say no? So I said, that would be lovely. I would love it if you would showcase Gay Wedding. You know, it's going to get it to another level of visibility and another set of eyes and ears on it. So I said yes, and then we'll follow up with the single that I want to do for after the first of the year. So it's, you know, ways to help build some momentum and excitement around the music along the way. So I want to thank the people at Hottest New Artist, but I want to thank you for voting, because right now, unless I'm missing something, I think we're going to see a landslide for Witch Sisters Halloween. Knock on wood, I'm knocking on my head as we speak. Okay, so I want to kind of give you a rundown of what's going on the show this week. You always know that you can get your Rated G Radio week preview, usually Sunday, most of the time Monday now, just because I've got a bunch of stuff going on. But I go and film a little, you know, video that you can watch. It's usually between, you know, 4 and 6 minutes long, and it talks about the guests that are going to be on the show for the week. And, you know, I may give you some other insights or things that I want to share with you about the day. Well, let's post it on Facebook now. So if you want to go take a look at it, please do so. It's totally fun, and I love doing that video every single week. And I come home, and I put it in iMovie, and I edit it a little bit, and I put some other stuff on there, and it's fun. But in case you haven't seen the video yet, here's the preview of what's going on for the rest of the week. Of course, today was John Paul, fitness, I'm going to call him a guru, but fitness guru, celebrity chef. He was on our show. Tomorrow night, Sherry Fink, she's going to talk about Cake in Bed. It's her new book. She's doing a Kickstarter campaign that is wrapping up this week, and she's very close to reaching her goal. Now, here's another interesting statistic that if you didn't know this, you should. Only 30% of all crowdfunding campaigns across Kickstarter, Indiegogo, GoFundMe, and all that other kind of stuff, only 30% of them actually fund because they don't reach the goal. You know, and so you can say, well, this one, you know, didn't reach the goal, but they still got this because they paid a different percentage. I'm not talking about the semantics of it. I'm talking about, did you reach your 100%? Only 30% of the all projects out there ever reach their goal. So Sherry is quickly approaching her 100% mark, and it's very, very exciting. So we're going to talk to her tomorrow. On Wednesday, we've got Mr. Rob Watson. He is returning to Rated G Radio for our monthly edition of Super Gay Radio. And Rob and I are going to be chatting about LGBT issues that are affecting the community in the month. We've also got an exciting announcement we're going to be making this Wednesday about 2016, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Thursday, we're bringing back Carol Ramsey, and Carol is a psychic. And on her website, she says, I'm the only psychic that offers a money-back guarantee. So I always thought that was really, really cool. I've enjoyed the time that she was with us earlier this year, and she'll be back on Thursday to take your calls. Now, the little secret here, and I'm telling you this on Monday's show because we don't have the usual listeners tonight that we have when we have a psychic show. On the psychic show, it ends up being filtered in a different way, and we get what I call the psychic surfers. I love them. They're great because they light up the phone lines, but it's the same callers every week, unless we have, you know, because they want to know about their cat. And is it my cat in a van down by the river or whatever the case is? But when we tell you ahead of time here on the show, hey, call in on Thursday, I'm telling you that because I want you to call in, and I want your call to be one that we are able to pick from to have Carol talk with you. So if you've got a psychic type of question about, tell me about my love life, or tell me about my job, or tell me about my whatever, well, Thursday's the day you want to do this. The phone lines open up 15 minutes before showtime. We're broadcasting live at 7 o'clock on Thursday. That means that's Pacific Standard Time. That means the phone lines open at 6:45. So if you want to call in and get a call in the queue, I'm inviting you now to do it. You can do that. And if you've never called in before and are nervous, just tell me, you know, hey, I'm a first-time caller, and I'll probably put you to the front of the line. And I can do that because it's my show. So there you go. So Thursday, Carol Ramsey, really excited to have her back. Then Friday, we're doing our fourth annual. Can you believe this? I've done, this will be my fourth Halloween show with you in 4 years. Well, it would be have to be the fourth show in 4 years. It couldn't be the fourth show in, you know, like 2 years unless I did two Halloween shows. And how would you do that? Halloween 1 and Halloween 2, unless, you know, we're going to have sequels. And I don't do sequels. But we've got a fun 2-hour show for Halloween on Friday. After it's broadcast, you'll be able to play it live anytime you want for the balance of the weekend. Well, really, for the rest of the year. But, you know, after Saturday night, you're going to switch to Christmas music. So on Friday, we've got a fun 2-hour program. We're doing the first ever top 10 Halloween songs on Rated G Radio. So with great scientific calculations in hand, I've created a top 10 list of Halloween music that I think will scare you crazy. I can't wait to do that. And some of the songs, you know, because we got 2 hours of music in there, some of the songs are written really or performed, you know, with maybe intent, or maybe there's a word in the title, or there's, you know, there's something about it that made it appropriate for this time of year. So that's what we're going to have on the Halloween show. Again, 2 hours of Halloween music. You can put it on play and then replay if you want to listen it again. That's great. I also found this weekend, I was doing some updates on my iPad, and then all of a sudden my iPad says, you're just about out of memory. And I'm like, how in the heck can that be? Because I've, you know, trust me, I'm just not out of memory. So I went and checked. My iPad, for some reason, decided that it wanted to download every episode of Rated G Radio off of my Apple iTunes account. Apparently, I had it suspended for a period of time, meaning it wasn't downloading new episodes, so I had some type of glitch. Apparently, I cleared the glitch, didn't realize I cleared the glitch, and then magically all hell broke loose because the dam opened up and I had, you know, 4 years of episodes coming into my iPad. No wonder my iPad was freaking out going, dude, you're out of room. So if you want to listen to the show on iTunes, you certainly can do that. Just find me in the podcast category for Rated G Radio, and that is your cue to press that button. It's free. You can take me with you to the gym or on the airplane or around the country, around the world. You know, because, you know, some, if you're traveling and you may not be in front of your computer or don't want to use data or whatever the case is, but you've already pre-downloaded, you know, 6 weeks' worth of shows or something, you could go, you could actually take this show to Mars, and you could be the Martian listening to Rated G Radio. That would be fine. You could do that. And then we'll just figure out a way to instant message back and forth on Facebook or something, and we can chat about your experiences on Mars. You know, are you growing, you know, your own potatoes? That would be a fascinating topic to talk about. But with that, my friends, it is time that we kind of wrap things up. And I want to scare the bejesus out of you tonight by playing my favorite Halloween song this year. I've only talked about it 3,000 times this episode. It is Witch Sisters Halloween. Again, go check out the video on YouTube. Please leave a nice comment and a thumbs up. It helps generate, you know, all those algorithms to keep the song going and to keep the eyes on it. And I'd really like to get to 1 million views this Halloween. That would be really, really awesome. And I will see you live tomorrow with Sherry Fink. You will love our interview with her, and I hope you have a great night. Don't drive distracted.
What do we have here?
Met three sisters on the beach alone that Friday night. Gathered near a campfire kiln, their fire burned so bright. They each got up and took their turn, looking me up and down. Can we trust him? Can we tell him they would circle round? The harvest moon above was full, but showed their scary smiles. Come sit with us, the three agreed, you'll want to stay a while.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.